Ha ha! Yes! Yeah, I turned off some, like, my internet's been going slow, but I think it's because they've been working on it.
Have they been trying to make better internet? Is the internet,
I really don't know,
worse so it can be better? I'm trying to get my levels on the level, so.
I think they're just making it worse so they can charge me for a bigger package or something.
You know, a big package is sometimes worth it on the upcharge. Hey, sex joke.
Gonna get that 10 gigabyte dick.
Yeah, baby.
I don't know why that's so funny to me, but it is.
Because any dick joke is funny.
That's true.
I mean, it renders more quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, right? That's the upload speed, I think.
Yeah.
You always got to check that. You always got to check that bottom number.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to buffer as long.
And like bottom top numbers. Like what if you get two bottom numbers and it just doesn't work?
I was just going to say, you should always check on your bottom numbers.
Exactly.
Okay, now we're queering it. I like this. This is a queer friendly podcast.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
It's not
No,
until
we're a very homophobic podcast. Yeah. We have gay people on here and we are very homophobic.
I mean, Dan Savage exists.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sometimes I like Dan him, Savage. And then sometimes I hate him.
Yeah, no, he's pretty solidly fucking canceled.
Like, yeah, I used to really love Dan Savage, and then I really started to hate Dan Savage.
It's
Dan
one of those
Savage
things where some of his writing
people,
I do like.
Bisexuals.
Yeah, he's like he's got bad opinions.
Yeah, it was the bisexual thing that finally killed it for me.
Anyway, he's trash.
All right.
So just saying.
Yeah. So I did end up emailing the anime podcast.
Yes.
To promote Library Punk in their ad slot.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
We're going to get some weird shit soon.
It'll be funny. It'll be funny having them trying to explain it to a bunch. I mean, I mostly, because it's only like $20 right now. And I'm trying to jump in before they up the price because they're
nice.
Pretty well-known podcasts. And
there's these librarians and they talk about communism.
Just library stuff.
Yeah.
I don't watch shit.
I really don't either.
I watch a lot of things. So
I watched that fun the docuseries on Netflix about the art heist at the Gardner Museum in Boston. And that was very fun.
So. Yeah, that's a good museum. Good heist.
Yeah.
Really good heist. Good. Such a good heist.
Like the best one.
Yeah.
Wait, what is this? I want to write this down.
They stole 13 paintings from the Gardner Museum.
Well, 13 works of art.
And
they weren't
never
all paintings.
Found any of them.
Some of them were drawings.
Paintings,
some
right? Because the one was like a Chinese vase.
There was a Chinese vase, a finial, and several drawings. Anyway, I'm a stickler for that
but
shit. Sorry. I'm a real punisher.
And is it on Netflix?
Yes. The docuseries is called This Is a Robbery. But it's big because like a lot of the stuff was like Rubens. Or Rembrandt's. It was Rembrandt's.
Yeah, a lot of Rembrandt's. Rembrandt, Vermeer. A lot
main,
of Dutch
like his...
stuff. It was mostly Dutch. And then there was also, I think, someone French. There was a small French painting. But yeah, it was really good. There's also
the
a podcast.
The Rembrandt is like.
Oh, yeah. It's a seascape. It's the only one.
Yeah, his only one. that he ever did, and it got stolen, and they will probably never find out where it is.
Yeah, because they basically figure out who did it, but like,
yeah, and they're all dead now.
Yeah. So
I mean, it'll end up on a Saudi prince's yacht. I mean, there's no guessing where it will end up. It's just, you know, which Saudi prince.
They think it was more of an Italian mafia thing, and they're waiting for like one guy to die, basically. Sorry, I'm spoiling everything. Spoilies!
Just the Boston Italian mob.
Yeah, spoilies. It's very fun. There's like one guy they're waiting to die, and they think like if he dies, they'll figure it out. But I don't think they will.
I think they just burnt them.
The cops. Because also, like, I kind of don't want them to solve it because fuck the cops.
My favorite person in the entire documentary is, I think his name was Miles something, and he was, like, the notorious art thief
there's a podcast they did on, the Heist a few years ago called Empty Frames. I think they talked a lot about O'Connor during that. I slept through a lot of, I kind of listened to a lot of podcasts and process a lot of information in and out of my head. So I could not tell you how this compares, but I think the documentary works a lot better than the podcast did.
Because you can see things.
Yeah, yeah. It makes a lot of sense when you're talking about fucking art to be able to see it, you know.
See the layout of the museum. And,
yeah, and then also, to be able to see people's faces and figure out who they are. Because, like, everyone fucking sounds the same to me. Like, they all sound like, I don't know, a bunch of fucking Boston people. Like, rich fucking people from Boston.
Stole it from the Gardener.
Yeah.
On St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah, so, like, they just all sound like a bunch of fucking Neanderthals. And so I was just trying to figure out who was who, and I could not figure out who was speaking. So being able to like see people, makes a big difference for me to figure out who's actually talking and what the story is. So, the documentary works better than the podcast did. And then, yeah, also great museum. Recommend going to see the museum. I prefer the museum and what they say in the documentary about the comparing the museum. So I've also been to the MFA. I do think that the Gardner is better than the MFA. It's a better museum. It's like a whole spatial experience because the house was curated to be a museum.
Aesthetically, don't like how crowded some of the stuff is. And I don't like that some of it's prints.
Yeah, well, it's parlor style. Like, that's I get it. I
like a big... Yeah, yeah. I went because I love all the sergeants.
Yeah, so, it's designed to be... of the stuff...
Like,
I
liked, like, the Dutch
parlor.
Room. And,
yeah. Yeah, so it's designed to be a European parlor.
Yeah,
and
so, like,
museum.
The smaller rooms where it's very cramped, I didn't like.
Yeah, which I like that in a museum because it reminds me of...
Yes!
Hi, Peter.
Was that a soundbite of Peter?
Yeah. I was just testing if I could mute myself in my voice mod, but also still play drops.
Yeah, I have a preference for the MFA just because they have the entire sergeant room, and that's what I care about is just the sergeants. And like in the sergeant room, they have that one. The artist who did Obama's presidential portrait, they have one of his portraits in there that's like in conversation with the sergeant portrait, and it's very fun. So yeah, but that's because I'm a John Singer sergeant fan. I'm glad none of those were stolen in the art heist. I would be very sad.
Yeah, why the fuck would you steal that shit anyway? Sergeant sucks. I just wanted to start a beef. I just want to start a beef with Jay.
Oh. Art beef.
Unofficial library punk beef.
Over Boston art museums.
Over art in general.
I cannot believe we finally get to talk about movies and it be okay.
On purpose. We're talking movies on purpose, sort of.
Yeah.
Movies and media, because I don't watch that many movies, so I threw in stuff about comics.
Yeah. Whoever put Girls with Slingshots, that's exactly what I was thinking about. I had merged Questionable Content and Girls with Slingshots in my head.
Yeah, I forgot that she was a librarian eventually.
The dominatrix.
Yeah, because she worked in a porn store and called herself a librarian for a long time.
Yeah.
And then eventually she met one of the characters' moms as a librarian.
Yeah.
And she actually gets a job in the library.
Yeah, I remember that. Because I was like, isn't there a dominatrix librarian somewhere?
Somewhere.
She had long hair.
I thought you were talking about like the actual cyber dom who has an MLIS who they profiled on what's that show that's canceled now? It was a podcast with the guys
Mueller, she wrote.
It was Reply All. They profiled a cyber dom who had an MLIS. So
nice. I thought that's canceled as in this podcast no longer happens. Or
like
canceled as in
some canceled. Shit like canceled.
Like labor violation kind of bad workplace.
Yeah,
there was like some bad union workplace stuff.
Yeah, union stuff going on.
I never really listened to them. Yeah. But I know they were popular.
Yeah, I know they've like I've heard good things about a few of the episodes.
Yeah, they had some good episodes, including one about a cyber dom who had an MLIS. So that's what I thought you were talking about.
I feel like the sexy librarian has merged into the like dominatrix librarian. Instead of just being I'm with the book. It's like femdom shit now.
It's the mean librarian combined with the sexy
librarian. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's definitely getting off on being withholding for sure. Christ. Yeah. You know what I think about John Singer Sargent? He can suck on a 10 gigabyte dick.
I can go buy one. That's the perk about being trans. I can choose how big mine is. 10 gig, 20 gig, whatever you want. John Singer Sargent.
He still has that big dick.
I'll be a bigger slut than Bernie Sanders.
Ignorant slut.
Exactly.
We don't need to do introductions. It's just us.
Yeah. People don't know us by now.
It's the library punk. It's the library punk fam tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't know us by now, fuck off.
I'm back. Hooray.
Yay.
Yeah, welcome back, Jay.
Unless you're here from the ad I paid money for, in which case, hello. But also listen to the other episode, maybe.
Yeah. Just pick one where we have a guest. I'm sure we'll introduce ourselves there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I did some reading for this tropes discussion, and there are 7 main ones. Mm-hmm. So I want to introduce the listener to them. So the common tropes, and then we'll talk about variations and combinations, but the common tropes are the old maid, the policeman, who is generally like an academic librarian, a British man, the inept librarian, which is not really well defined in what I was reading. The librarian is parody, so librarians like making fun of any of the other tropes, which kind of I feel like is similar to inept. The heroine, which is either like the hero of the story is a librarian in some way, as like an unsuspecting hero, or just like the shit that libraries have been doing recently where they're trying to play off the Marvel shit, which I hate. I also hate the use of the word hero in like everyday life. I think it's like it's a authoritarian way of valorizing day-to-day life for sacrifice for the country. So I don't like using it at work either. I've made that argument at work and been like, no, we can't call them textbook heroes. No, I'm not using that. It's fascist creep.
That's like the heroes work here outside of like grocery stores and stuff because of COVID, and then they don't fucking pay them shit. So
I'm like, if they're heroes, give them the money.
Give them hazard pay.
Fucking remuneration, bitch. Yeah.
The opposite side of hero is you die.
Arthur, are you gonna come say hi on the podcast? Yeah. Arthur has joined the chat.
I almost made the cat noise like out of sheer habit when you were like, come here. Yeah. Yeah.
See, that doesn't work with Arthur.
Damn.
That doesn't mean I'm not going to make that fucking sound.
Damn, boy. He's thick. Boy, that's a thick ass boy. Damn.
What the fuck is that from?
Where the hell did you get that?
It's on TikTok. It's one of my TikTok sound bites.
You're a TikTok teen now? Or you're one of those TikTok millennials that
millennial.
You get the like they figure out you're like near 30.
My bio so they stay away.
On either side, and it's like, hi, you're a millennial on TikTok. Here's some things you need to know, and we're gonna make jokes. I'm like, okay.
No, I just upload bunny videos. That's all that people want. I got tarot cards today. I'm thinking of ripping off someone else's thing of just having the bunnies pull the tarot card.
I love that.
But I got Welcome to Night Vale tarot cards.
Nice. That's a vibe. Yeah, there you go.
The librarians, there's in that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there are
librarians. They're like the evil monster librarians that are like shapeless and formless. And we know, at least I haven't listened in years, but I don't think you ever find out what the librarians are.
I think recently one of them talked.
The
library director was like interviewed or something. There's a director who's like a normal dude or something.
I went to one of the live shows, but it was the like all seeing cloud.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. So that was fun. But yeah, no, I love the Night Vale librarians.
Yeah. Two more tropes, the sexy librarian and the fun and helpful librarian.
The fun and helpful librarian, I feel like, is just kind of stupid as a trope because, like...
Is that the Harry Potter librarians where it's like, please read another book?
It's just, like, so fucking hokey. Like, oh, I'll teach you how to read. Like, I teach kids that. Yay. Or, like, yeah.
I'm wearing a cardigan.
Yeah.
But it's fun. And is it the quirky librarian? Is that what that is?
It doesn't even go that far. I feel like that kind of stuff is like within library tropes of librarians. And then this is just us trying to be like, no, we really are fun and helpful. But like, dude.
Yeah, it's a librarian created trope.
Yeah, it's like the, oh, we're creative. Like, look at our book display. How fun is that? I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt. How fun is that? Like, I remember reading an article about catalogers when I was in I took my cataloging class, and it was basically like catalogers can be fun too. Like,
no, they can't.
Yeah, no.
Hey,
actually, I know. I actually
haven't cataloged in years.
I actually do really respect the work of catalogers. I have actually a lot of great cataloging friends.
Catalogers rule.
Yeah, actually, they really catalogers fuck, if I may say.
I mean, I don't mean to brag, but
but anyway, but that, like, the fact that there was an academic article that I read for a class that was like, catalogers are cool. like, that's the least cool thing, and catalogers are better than that. You don't need an article like that, because like, if you just exist as you are, we all know you fuck. Okay. Like, get over it.
Shout out.
Just make our labor not invisible, and that is all we need to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, if you know, you know. Yeah. But, like, the way to make people's labor not invisible is to, you know, promote it in the profession and, you know, things like that. And
not Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, not like be like, hey, we won our workplace's costume contest during Spirit Week this year.
Jerk me off. Ugh.
With my 10 gigabit dick.
Exactly. John Singer Sargent has entered the chat. I'm never going to be able to. Never going to be able to look at a painting again.
I haven't told you what I do in art museums, Jay.
So those are the
You do the art butts?
Yeah, I take pictures of asses.
I love the art butts.
Yeah. Instagram's been like a good outlet for art asses lately. Just passing it on.
Art Wait, butts. When have you been doing this?
Like, is this... for several years, for at least 3 years, I've been taking pictures of asses and art.
And like,
And that's also why I argue that Rothko sucks, because there are no asses in his art. Just
assless
want to put that
art.
Out there.
Worse
yeah.
than assless chaps.
You gotta use your imagination.
Yeah. No,
it's an abstract ass.
No. It's like, it's fucking terrible. No asses. Not even in the abstract. Just zero
like
booty
Rothko.
Factor. Rothko has zero ass factor. Like, Clifford Still, ass factor. Rothko, no ass factor. Franz Klein, ass factor. De Kooning, ass factor. Rothko, no ass factor. Pollock, no ass factor.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I even love Pollock, but no ass.
Lee Krasner, ass factor.
Damn.
So, yeah. So we've gone through the tropes. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, like, I did not realize, like, because, like, the one that, the, like, policeman one, that one surprised me, because, like, that's Giles from Buffy, right? Mm-hmm. Which I actually have never really watched Buffy. I've seen a few episodes. So like, I know about Giles, right? But it's like, that's a very common, like, I've seen more than one where it's like a librarian who's basically just an English professor, but a librarian. And it's always like the classy British dude. I didn't know that that's what that trope was called.
So if it's I didn't mean to interrupt, but
no, you're fine.
Vengeance, bitch. Sorry.
We're gonna have to like start a feud.
Yeah. But so like, if it's an English guy and it's a policeman, would that make it a bobby?
I really wish we recorded video. Carrie has just really cracked herself up. It could be a bobby, could be a copper.
I copper.
Could be a flat nosed geezer.
Can we just call it by the universal pig?
Yeah.
The pig librarian. Which, like, why is it like the like not English professor librarian? Why is that the policeman? Just because authority figure and he's strict? Like,
it goes back to academic librarians in like Harvard, I guess, who like,
of course, Harvard,
were like basically didn't allow people to use the collections. Like, they were just it's all mine. And that that's how the trope spread. The book hoarding, I guess.
The book hoarders, that's like kind of a thing. Also, kind of a old English trope was the librarian tended to be someone that was like a wayward faculty member that like they kind of didn't want to tolerate. So they would often toss them in the library to take care of the books. Hence, that might be some of where that male cop attitude came from. Yeah. Also, in like... Mm-hmm. In discussing like gender variation in the profession and like what male library roles tended to be versus what female library roles tended to be, which is that male library roles tended to be in administration, which were these more like, you know, academic, like executive style positions, which is female roles tended to be more public facing sorts of roles as well, which might have and some in, of like- that pigginess and be where some of that comes from.
Yeah, and like, cause like in the tropes for that one, it's normally like the British, the Giles is normally a solo librarian.
Mm-hmm.
I feel where it's like maybe not even like a proper library. Sometimes it's just like books happen in the general vicinity, and so they say they're a librarian, but it's more just like this is a person who takes care of books that no one reads. That
or
like
would that
almost
be like
a,
more of a gatekeeper,
like a very. Yeah, like a very cheap imitation of like what people assume special collections is probably. Yeah. Like that's what normally like I view the like the Giles as is like solo librarian. Yeah.
And like a Zero Fails bookstore.
Yeah, like he's not a librarian, he's the trope. Yeah. He doesn't sell his books, right?
So would like the Beast from Beauty and the Beast be like a cop librarian? Because he like has all those fucking books in his castle.
No, he's a sexy librarian.
He is not about sexy. To say that's like the... His transformation was the most disappointing part of that movie. And we all know that.
He still has that big dick.
Beast is very sexy. Prince Adam, what the fuck?
Yeah,
is Adam,
fuck
right?
You, Prince
know his name.
Adam.
I
go
just
back.
I want the hot Beast. In the French film, I think she even like is like sad that he transforms it. She likes the Beast. Yeah, I still need to see it, but
sexual awakenings.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you're not a furry, but you know.
Yeah, it's more monster fucker territory.
Exactly. Loud and proud, baby.
But there's also something interesting. I thought Carrie was going to bring this up with the gender stuff. Is maybe male librarians tend to do the cop role more because they're insecure about being in a female-dominated Ooh. Profession.
Oh yeah, probably. Or they're over secure.
Yeah.
I was just about to say. I feel like that would be like they overshot the mark on that one. Instead of being insecure, they're over secure.
Or they're just like know-it-alls.
Yeah. Especially because so many of them are in, you know, fucking administration positions and stuff. It's like,
yeah, they're glass escalators.
You're automatically authoritarian just because you're a male in librarians, which fucking sucks.
Yeah. And like in the trope examples, like, again, because it's the more professorial stereotype that comes with this assumption of all this knowledge. Like, not only do they take care of the books, they're the stereotype of the librarian who knows everything. but is still clueless about the actual world.
And that's a good point, like, with all of these, that's the only one where the knowledge is assumed. Like, the rest of them, like, the sexy librarian and the old maid, like, the only one who actually has the knowledge built into the trope is the cop.
Is the cop.
What the fuck? Pigs. Well, and I think this also kind of, like, kind of back to what I was previously saying, I think this type of librarian dates back to before the professionalization of the field, which is like when the field became more gendered, because it was previously like a man's job before it became a feminized profession, because of, you know, he who we do not, the person with the name who's a piece of shit named Melville Dewey, was the one who was, fuck you. Fuck you, Harley Jarvis.
Cotton, you know, call number is my license plate, but, you know, it's for literature nerd reasons, so.
Yeah. I'd be real dumb if you had a Dewey Decimal tattoo.
No, no. It's C-Nero AX for Cotton Nero AX, which is the Gawain manuscript in the British Library. Because the cotton system is really fun. Anyway, I'll talk about it in another episode, unless people want me to talk about it. It's very fun. Anyway.
No, we're talking tropes.
Tropes, yeah.
Yeah. I did see the end of Party Girl because I didn't have enough time. I just found it was on Amazon.
And there's like two that are named Party Girl, but this is the 1995 one, right?
There are like three movies called Parker Party Girl. Posey.
Right.
You want to watch the one with Parker Posey.
Yeah. So I saw the end of it where there's like the big party that her friends throw a surprise party,
that
birthday
the girl
party
is at.
And she's trying to get her job back. So she invited her old boss / godmother over.
Oh, that's fun.
And then it's like, oh, all her degenerate friends are there. Like one friend keeps like, she's like, everyone leave. And then the one friend is like, are you an alcoholic? What are you on? Like, won't believe that she like wants everyone to leave. It's like trying to do an intervention. And then the rest of them are like, come on, man, we got just come on. And then they show up and the old boss shows up and then the stripper shows up, a policeman stripper, and like pretends to arrest her. And then she's like, while she's getting danced on, she's like, I want my job back. I want to go to grad school. I want it to be my life. And then everyone's like, yeah, she helped me out. And then the party happens. That's the end of Party Girl. I couldn't quite figure out what trope she's supposed to be though, except of, cause she kind of like dives in, like her outfit in the main scene at the end is like, she tries to look very buttoned up.
Cardigan librarian.
Yeah. So having actually seen the movie, and it's been a few years, but like the main actual librarian character of the movie is the godmother, because Parker Posey's like an irresponsible party girl in New York who needs a job, and her mom hooks her up with the job with the godmother at the library, and basically like she gets schooled by the godmother. Like the godmother is like a very like tough love kind of librarian. Like, you're gonna learn things, you're gonna stamp books and you're gonna shelve shit. And like one night Parker Posey leaves the windows open at the library and the books get wet, but she actually like ends up learning a lot from the job and helps all her friends
start
out
by doing shelving. Like,
yeah paging, that's where you start.
Yeah, I'm not mad about this so far. I'm like, okay, yeah,
actually,
I agree.
Like, it's actually like a really great movie about library work.
Like, you know, get a volunteer when you're a student, get a student job or something.
And then, like,
paging.
And then you end up like helping people, and you're like, whoa, this kind of fucks. Like, helping people is fucking rad. Yeah, like this actually is kind of rad, and like kind of like a good-hearted kind of movie, like about a career story.
I actually want to watch this now. Yeah. I've like heard about it, you know,
also fucking Parker Posey is illuminating. I adore her in so many movies. Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show. She's electric in, you know, so many Christopher Guest projects, which are those three, House of Yes. Yeah, she's been in a lot of great things. One of my favorite actresses, really.
She was someone who, like, I didn't, like, I'd heard that name, but I couldn't put a name to the face.
Did she just do New York based party movies?
No.
No, she's got a very...
Yeah, no, House of Yes was not a New York based party movie.
Oh, there's a club in New York called House of Yes, I think.
It seems like she's got a very varied, like, she has a very large range.
Waiting for Guffman is set in Missouri, in rural Missouri, about the greatest fake musical that ever was. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
So what trope is Party Girl before we move on?
Yeah, it's hard to place, like, the main librarian character in that one. I would say she's like kind of the old maid, kind of stuck up librarian. She's very competent, but she's definitely like more of an old maid sort of character.
Because you can't be a competent woman unless you're a bitch, right?
Oh yeah, she's a real bitch.
And which means I would probably love her.
Oh yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
Well, also part of the old maid,
she's real bitter
stereotype
too.
In some places is like, it's not just that they're not married, it's that they're so obsessed with their jobs they never get married.
Yeah,
it's like the competence is kind of built in sometimes.
Wait, don't talk about me like that, man. No, never mind, I don't care about, I'm not that married to my job.
Yeah, I'm not married either, and you know, no one's called me an old maid yet. Old maid librarian.
I can call you an old maid right now.
Would that make you happy, Justin?
I just hope it doesn't awaken anything in me.
I do.
Justin shows up to the podcast next week wearing a French maid uniform.
Hell yeah. I'm here for that. So, yeah. And then what would Parker Posey be in this? Like, is she, like, not a librarian yet?
Oh, she's
but, like,
definitely
is it
fun.
Fun. Oh, okay.
She's a party girl.
She's fun and helpful.
She's a party girl. She's not, like, a regular mom. She's a cool mom.
Don't forget I still have the man-to-woman voice.
Yes, you do. I remember that.
And I'm also moving my speech away from the back of the throat towards the nasal area.
I've taught you well.
Yes.
My young Padawan.
So it's more convincing, I think.
Exactly. Resonance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we've done Party Girl. You know, I've never actually seen, I see the next one on the list is Music Man. I've never actually seen Music Man. I just know that. Is it 76 Trombones? That one's fun. And then that starts with T and that rhymes with P and that stands for pool. That song's great.
Are you talking about
And I know there was a thing in the Simpsons episode and that my boyfriend showed me, like a Simpsons episode that had a Music Man thing in it. And that's all I know
about
the Music Man.
Monorail?
Monorail, yeah. Conan O'Brien wrote that episode?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
That was a very fun episode. I really liked it. I've liked all the episodes he showed me, though.
One of the best.
The first appearance
of
Elon Musk.
Yeah.
For sure.
Lyle Landley.
It was good. Yeah. I know nothing about the Music Man except that, like, there's a librarian in it. And, you know, that starts with T and it rhymes with P and it stands for pool. And that's, like, what I know about the Music Man.
I thought you would know more, Jay, with your evil twink energy. I'm disappointed.
I am not actually, like, I don't like. There's a few musicals I like. Like, I like, I can't even, like, I like Sondheim. I'm an opera person. I'm not really, I'm not, like, musicals.
You
I just, like
Andrew
don't,
Lloyd
I
Webber.
Don't like, especially, like, the poppy Broadway. I like Cats, and I like Jesus Christ Superstar.
You like Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I like those a lot.
Yeah. Because Andrew Lloyd Webber basically, you're, like,
Rodgers and Hammerstein. Opera. Yeah.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I like Les Mis. I do not like Rodgers and, yeah. I don't like Rodgers and Hammerstein except for the first act of Carousel. and then, like, Gilbert
like
and Sullivan,
you know, more
are
than
off,
you're
like,
letting
light operas,
on.
So they're either. I know a lot about theater. I just don't like, I haven't watched a lot of, like, I haven't seen The Music Man, but I, like, know of it, and I know, like, that song slaps. I know there's a librarian in it. And, like, so, like, I could recognize a parody when it was in The Simpsons. Like, I knew that much.
It's like how people keep, like, bringing up scholars in your field and you never read them. So, like, you know, I know, like, people keep mentioning, like, Friedrich Jameson or, like, I actually have read Foucault, but, like, I can imagine someone being like, well, you know, as Foucault said, because just people talk about Foucault so much.
I feel like I know a lot about, Oh, not Derrida. Who's the other one?
Oh.
Deleuze. I feel like I know a lot about Deleuze because my best friend's really into Deleuze. But I've never read any Deleuze.
I don't make fucking claims about shit I don't know shit about. Like, I've never had dinner at Red Lobster. So I'm not going to tell you about the food at Red Lobster, you know? Like, insane. I've never been to Olive Garden. I've had pasta before, but I can't tell you about the food at fucking Olive Garden. So I'm not going to fucking front the on that shit.
Are vegan.
Just saying. You're not going to get me pretending.
I was just comparing. It to Jay's knowledge of things that he hasn't seen.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't.
Proximity
I put
knowledge.
It, so I put it on there, hoping that someone had seen it and would know how to identify this trope.
Oh, do none of us know about the Music Man?
Because I haven't seen it either.
I haven't. Yeah, I know there's a librarian in it,
and I know that too. But it's where Marion the librarian comes from.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like I could talk about all day about the It's a Wonderful Life one because it's one of my favorite movies, and I watch it every single Christmas. Like, I don't care what else is happening. I'm like, if I'm going to a party, I'm like, well, I only go if you let me watch It's a Wonderful Life.
All right, Dad. Like... Let Dad go. Just go for it with It's a Wonderful Life then.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it was irresponsible to put in a movie you haven't seen, considering that me and Sadie don't watch movies as much as the rest of you.
I don't even know if they made a movie of The Music Man. I just know it's a musical.
Yes, they did.
I don't know if there's a movie of it.
There's all kinds of shapoopies.
I'm pretty sure there is.
Oh yeah, there's definitely. Yeah,
I feel like my wife has seen it because the only thing I know is the Maid the Librarian deal, and I've heard that before, and I probably heard it from them. That's the extent of my knowledge there.
But yeah, so it's
What's a wonderful life.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life is a Frank Capra film that is a very class conscious. Not overly positive. Like a lot of people like say it's a very sentimental movie, and it is, but I also read this article about it's like a very depressing Christmas movie, and like it fucking is. Like it's very depressing. Like, you know, if people haven't seen it, it's about this guy named George Bailey, and basically he has all these high dreams in life, and he always keeps sacrificing them for other things and never gets to actually do them, and then some like shit happens and he almost commit suicide, and a guardian angel shows up named Clarence and like gets to show him what life would be like if he had never been born, because like isn't like, you know, it would just be so much better if I had never been born. And so he gets to see what it would be like, and this is like the last, you know, act of the film. And the thing with the librarian is that like the girl he grew up with that like he ends up marrying, like, you know, and they have children and everything. Like one of my favorite, most romantic scenes in any movie is when they do like the makeshift honeymoon in that old house. And it's, when he asks Clarence, like in this, like, what if I'd never been born fantasy, like asks like where she is. Clarence is like, I don't want to tell you. You don't want to know. Like, it's the worst thing in the entire world. And he's like, tell me where she's about to close up the library. And it's like this like huge, like, no. And then he finds her and like, she looks ugly and has like the glasses and the hair. And she's like all has like the maid librarian outfit. And
she looks like Adrian from the first Rocky movie.
And it's like, she's like, let go of me! But yeah, it's like, I laugh every single year that I watch it. But that's like the huge moment of the If I Had Never Been Born sequence, is that this beautiful woman who, you know, is amazing and smart and insightful and kind-hearted and ended up as his wife would have been a matronly librarian if he had never been born.
And yeah,
that's a bad thing.
In a small town.
Yeah. Where that's a bad thing that she ended up as a spinster, basically.
Yeah. I forgot how dramatic it was. Where
it's
he's
so
like shaking him.
Like,
I remember
and where he's
now.
Like, you don't want to know. Like, he won't tell him at first. He's like, tell me. She's about to close up the library. Like, it's so funny every single year.
Yeah, man, closing the
it must
closing the
joke.
Library fucking sucks. Like, you know,
it does fucking
I bet
suck.
If she was just working a daytime shift, it would have been no big deal. Like, I'm sure if she was just working the desk during the daytime, no big fucking deal. But the fact that she had to work a closing shift, that was probably like the nail in the coffin for him.
Because that
like,
means she's not married
she
and doesn't have to take care of children.
Yeah, she can't, like, she got no one to go home to. That's fucking shitty. Like, welcome to my life, George Bailey. It's fine. I got nothing going on. Go home. You do you. Take your bra off. It's good.
So yeah, that's It's a Wonderful Life. And like, Justin, like I saw in the notes that you said that that was like the sort of progenitor of that trope. And I had
It's not the progenitor. It's the one that people most know.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, surely that's older than that. But
no, it's much older.
Yeah. But like,
this was also at the point in like the UK, by the time this movie had come out, where like the trope had gone so far from being like a helpful woman in the library to like, what are these single women doing having careers? It's just creepy.
They're all lesbians.
Well, it was also kind of like post-World War II. It was like, they need to be in the home having babies.
They need to
because half our country died.
Family shit. Yeah.
Half our country died and they have to make more.
So instead of being helpful, they're now seen as like suspicious. That started with like teachers.
Oh.
Yeah, that's in the article. Right? Like, because teachers were unionized, and that's part of it. Like, librarians never actually unionized, which I can always talk about more. But there's a lot of fear around teachers, particularly, and you know, they didn't want librarians having any of that. So by keeping them in low wage jobs, that would keep them essentially away from power and away from. Yeah, it's all in that article that Justin shared. Fucking read the article. I guess we're discussing it, though.
Yeah, it was just like to have something smart to say about all the, because I wasn't going to have time to watch all these movies. But I also linked the
hard times
one where study finds librarian saying shush directly into the camera is still the most effective music video element for conveying pop punk band's distaste for authority.
I was definitely sent this screenshot by at least two people
before. I saw that it was from the Hard Times. I thought that was like a real, because that sounds like something that like someone on Vice or Polygon or something would like do some sort of informal study.
And it's, I was like a Polygon headline.
It does, right? Like some sort of
You don't have
friends
that I do. So you don't have, well, you're not as media literate as I am.
I love the Hard Times. I just like didn't know it was from the Hard Times.
I like how it calls out the fish lens in particular. Like, it's not just a picture of a librarian shushing somebody. It's a fish lens.
The
librarian.
Fish islands.
Yeah. Fish islands.
She's old and it makes her eyes bug out. And
pop punk soup dude Jor.
I'm on a skateboard and she doesn't like it.
I couldn't actually think of any videos that had that, though.
I can't either. I know exactly what they're talking about, but I cannot name one at the top of my head.
Feeling This has a teacher. Blink-182's Feeling This has a teacher do that, where they do the fisheye lens and come in.
Mm. Yeah, it's a very early aughts sort of feeling.
Yeah. I don't think it happens in I'm Not Okay. I mean, MCR's not pop punk, but that song is,
yes,
I would consider that.
Yes, sir.
I will argue that MCR are not pop punk, nor are they emo, until my dying breath.
They are sadcore.
It's just Gerard Way's really into the Smashing Pumpkins and also Cabaret and also Misfits. And then Ray Toro's really into Iron Maiden. And then that's how you get MCR. And they all like Queen. And then like Danger Days album is just them doing glam rock. So more so than on Black Parade, like instead of doing Queen and they're doing like T-Rex. So anyway, I haven't seen like any Fall Out Boy music videos. I've seen,
I don't know if there's any in schools except for the Dance Dance one, but there's no like
Dance Dudes. I haven't like seen any Green Day music videos. Where did the shushing
that trope
librarian come from?
Fucking,
it's gotta be somewhere.
Everything.
That or it's just we all imagined it.
Maybe it was like memed into existence like before before our knowledge, like before we had
an in-group delusion.
Maybe it was
is that a Hitchens
mnemonicis idea? No, it was Dawkins. Yeah,
Dawkins in like a Dawkins way.
Yeah. Definitely not Hitchens.
Not Hitchens. I get
definitely not the same person.
I know. I have a brain injury. Sometimes I can't remember things right.
I can see how you would
make that mistake. It's a Mandela effect.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't remember the name of the lady, of the librarian, and It's a Wonderful Life, and that's one of my favorite movies. I'm like, what's her name?
I have no idea what her name was.
Yeah, I watch that every single Christmas, and yeah. I cannot remember her name.
I don't know the names of any of the characters in White Christmas either, so don't feel bad. And I watch that every Christmas. I have no idea what any of the fucking characters' names are.
Right.
Yeah.
Were y'all forced to watch Desk Set ever?
No, I've watched parts of it. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Catherine Hepburn's collars.
I love Catherine Hepburn.
Her
collars in anything
in that movie are fucking her fucking outfits are fucking ridiculous. Like, I want to throw shit at my TV when I watch that movie because I'm like, who? No one can afford that outfit as a librarian.
Also, like the anxieties of that film about like the computers taking. Like the jobs of librarians, and this is what like a movie from the 50s or something where it's like they will automate their jobs and so they won't have jobs anymore. It's like when I learned that like that's what that movie was about, I was like, what? Like, you surely that's a not even in the 90s I wouldn't think that would be like, because these things weren't sophisticated enough yet. It was when like Google got really good that people were like, oh, I guess you don't need librarians anymore because Google exists.
So Watson was on Jeopardy when my like first semester of grad school. And so that was a big topic of conversation in the winter of 2010. And that was definitely something we talked about a lot in grad school. Will we have jobs? And there was also a massive recession going on.
Right.
So automation plus recession equals massive anxiety for years during that time period about those
tech
things.
Services.
Yeah. Oh, everything. Yeah. Everything. Like reference. It came up everywhere in reference. Like, do they need reference if fucking Watson's available? And it's just like the reality of it.
Well, because in Desk Set, it's available. People.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. That's what it was. It was
reference. Yeah. Because it's not like it's them being scared about cataloging. It's their reference librarians.
Yeah. And that's what I was scared about. And I was scared about going into reference. Yeah. And so I did a bunch of like, digital collections shit and started working in digital collections because I didn't think that there was a future in reference. Which, guess where I am now? Instruction. Because I was going to school in that transition period where like things were transitioning from reference to instruction.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been a while since I've seen that. I don't think I've seen all of it, but it was like the last day of one of my library school classes. They showed scenes from it because I don't think they let you graduate at U of I without doing that.
I did.
Did you not have to see it in any of your classes?
Oh no, I made it through without any of that. Well, I also did like most of my degree online too, so
yeah.
I took instruction courses because that was kind of like the thing that everyone was like, there's probably going to be a job in this. Like,
yeah,
because I always had like job board emails coming in. It was like instruction reference, instruction reference, instruction reference. So I was like, okay, I should definitely take some like more instruction courses. And then I took one. I remember the first like 4 weeks and then nothing, but it was a really good 4 weeks. But then the rest of the class was just like not as good. So then I took another specialist reference class.
Yeah.
In humanities, which history was not a part of. So that was disappointing.
I'm trying to remember what stereotype Katharine Hepburn was in that, because it's Katharine Hepburn, so I doubt she's gonna be like shy or something. And it's Katharine Hepburn, she's a fucking firecracker, but she's never like matronly. Like, she's just Katharine Hepburn, right? So I'm trying to think of like what trope is Katharine Hepburn.
Could she be the first fun and competent?
Oh,
fun and helpful.
Because it's, you know, just
is
her,
she
just,
fun in this movie?
It's just Katharine Hepburn, and I think Spencer. This is one of her ones with Spencer Tracy too. I think because you know she did those few like Cary Grant ones back in the 30s, 40s. And then it was just her and Spencer Tracy till the cows came home.
Oh my god.
It's been a while since I've seen that.
Guess what Katharine Hepburn's name is in this movie?
What?
Bunny Watson.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what? Bunny what?
Watson.
Bunny Watson.
Oh.
Is that what Watson was named after? Or is it named after the Sherlock Holmes character?
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes character.
Is she named after that, the Sherlock Holmes? Like, is that a Sherlock reference too?
I'm not in the brain of the person who wrote this movie, so I don't know.
Yeah, desk set. Like, I feel like that and Party Girl are two ones that always get mentioned in grad school. And then it's like everyone already knows Giles from Buffy, even though I hate Buffy.
I have never watched a second of Buffy, and I don't give a shit about it.
I hate
it.
Joss Whedon with my entire soul.
Yeah, fuck
the only
Joss
good
Whedon.
Dialogue he ever wrote was in The Avengers. And everything else, it's like I've seen like a few episodes of Buffy that were good, and they were Giles or Spike episodes that my friend showed me. Giles is fun.
I just don't think I get it.
I don't either.
You know,
he's like Aaron Sorkin but trying to be cool.
Yeah, you're probably better off for that.
Like, I would probably hate The West Wing too, because it's just Aaron Sorkin and Joss Whedon are the kind of the same dialogue style. Too fast and quippy for where it's just them jerking off, and then that's the dialogue. Anyway, so yeah, it's been a while since I've seen Desk Set. Are you just gonna do that anytime we're horny on Maine, Justin?
I guess so.
Okay,
I might get some like old Looney Tunes Foley.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yes. I thought of another character that we haven't talked about. It's not from a movie, but it's from a television show. It's Tammy from Parks and Rec, if anyone's watched that.
Yes, the punk-ass book jockey.
Yeah.
And how many fucking Twitter handles do we know with that in it? Or the...
Yeah.
That's
or handbags.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Twitter, yeah.
Mugs, t-shirts.
Yeah, stuff on the wall next to Live, Laugh, Love.
Yeah.
That
and it's the librarian version of
wife,
Live,
mother.
That character's so fun because it's Megan Mullally.
Yeah, it's all Megan Mullally.
It's like Megan Mullally's great.
Yeah, it's just like her fucking raw power because she's like sexy.
If I could just like watch her,
she's like every trope bundled into one. Like she's like a sexy cop mischief maker, like and inept.
She's a bitch.
Like a bitch.
She's so evil.
Yeah,
she's like an evil librarian.
She's like wicked, pure evil energy. But like, you also maybe get that she like might run the library really well,
and like that she fucks like a demon.
Oh yeah, like, you know she fucks.
Yeah, yeah. So that's actually like, I'm like. There's things about Parks and Rec I like. It's like how there's things about The Office I like.
Oh, yeah.
But
there are more things I like about Parks and Rec than The Office, though.
Agreed. But yeah, her character was so fucking fun. How did I forget the punk ass book jockey thing? Because anyone
oversight on our part.
Yeah. God. Yeah. Because the first time a young librarian hears that, they're like, "Yeah, I'm a punk ass book jockey."
Yeah.
But yeah, no, one thing I'm totally gonna steal. I'm not gonna do like the whole thing. But this great librarian I went to grad school with, Dylan Burns. He's at the University of Washington now. And he's like their cinema media studies person. We went to grad school together. He's great. And we keep meaning to do this, but you know, COVID and life happened. But we really want to do this paper on like info seeking in horror movies. And because like when you think about it, like there are a lot of scenes in horror films when like the people are going to look for what is this thing, they go to a library, right? Or they do other things, but like in It, they go to a library.
They do that there's a Babysitter's Club movie from the 90s and they
nice.
And they definitely do that in that movie.
Or they go to like some sort of like newspaper archives and they read the microfilm.
Yeah.
Right. Or that's in thrillers too, like in Seven, where they like, that's how they catch fucking Kevin Spacey, is they get his like record of what books he checked out, even though it's illegal. And that it was like all of like the Canterbury Tales or something.
And that movie was made before the Patriot Act.
Right. That's a good movie. I'm so mad about Kevin Spacey. I just love David Fincher though. But yeah, like,
you know what? Fuck Kevin Spacey.
I know. I was so mad because he's such a good actor. I was like, no. So many movies I like.
It was fine.
I wonder if somebody
else.
He's
just another white guy. We're fine without him.
Yeah, I know. I like the movies he was in, though.
I wonder how many. I wonder if anybody has gone through, like, I'm getting definite Supernatural flashbacks. I'm wondering if somebody has gone through and counted how many times they've ended up in a library in Supernatural, like
especially Sam. That's his big thing. He's the law student.
Yeah, like flipping through books and like drawing shit. Like shit.
It's always the old dusty brown mahogany library.
Which, like, is like never any library anywhere.
Yeah. Well, the graduate, well, like the regular main library at U of I is exactly like that.
Oh, okay.
And like the, actually the Rose Room at the New York Public Library is like the big mahogany thing. And like Day After Tomorrow takes place in that room. Remember, like the disaster movie with the global warming that happens in the New York Public Library, like most of that movie. Yeah. That's where they're holding up. I watched it all the time as a kid. That was like big when I was young. But no, like in thrillers, this happens. And I know in like movies where journalism is a thing, like in Spotlight, I know there was like, you know, of them going to research and there's like the montage, or even a Velvet Goldmine, he goes and like goes to like reference something and looks at microfilm for newspapers and like name records and stuff. Like that's always a scene in something.
God,
yeah.
I would love
and, like,
it
it's
if
a
like
huge one.
If like so I still love like despite everything, I still love like Matt Stone and Trey Parker, and like
I yeah.
Can you like imagine?
Really
if, can you like imagine if they did like a movie where like we're gonna do with a montage like we're gonna do some research?
Research. This song would be great.
Research. Research.
And like what musical would they base it off of?
Yeah,
because they
like,
already did all of Les Mis.
Like,
for
but
the
like,
movie.
If it were like an investigation, like kind of movie, and like, yeah, if it were like a musical, yeah, that would be pretty fucking awesome. I would really like for Matt
Trey
Stone,
Parker, Matt Stone.
If you're listening,
yeah,
make a movie musical involving research. I'll help you write the songs. Big fan of Cannibal the Musical. If you're listening, also
I use
really
Book of
love
Mormon a lot in like instruction examples.
My favorite movie of yours is Orgasmo.
But yeah, it's like I that's the like let's go find about this esoteric old thing. It's like even in like did y'all watch the American remake of The Ring? Gore Verbinski, I think.
I saw that movie in the movie theater.
It's so good because, like,
I was 15 when that came out, and
it's
I didn't
so
sleep for a week.
The first time I saw it, my phone rang after, and I was like, no.
The first time I saw it, the guy I was dating at the time I was in high school, we went and we saw it, and we were going back to his house afterwards, and his little brother knew that nobody else would be home, so he left to go to a friend's house and just left the gigantic TV in the living room on static.
No!
And so we walk into this like empty house with just this giant TV on static.
It's real! No!
I'm pretty certain that I just turned around and left, and my boyfriend was just like, I'm gonna fucking kill him. I know that was my little brother. I told him we were going.
But yeah, no, like there's huge, like,
oh, yeah, I had to put
thing a, of that of
I had
Naomi
to put a,
Watts.
Yeah, towel. I had to put a towel on my TV for like a month, you know.
Yeah, it's so good. But like,
no,
yeah, she does a
little
bit going to research and I love it. And like
shit.
Looking at like microfilm and microfiche.
Oh, yeah.
And like having a time
doing,
with it.
Doing
like,
some
when
local
I think
history
of that trope,
research, yeah.
Yeah, like when I think of like the going to research in a horror film, that's the movie I think of actually. Because like it, I saw that before I saw the It miniseries. I didn't see that until middle school. Whereas I saw The Ring in middle school too, but I saw that in like fifth grade. Whereas I saw It in like eighth grade, you know. So I associate the going to the library scene with The Ring and not It, even though even in It there's like that whole scene in the library with the you got Prince Albert in a can and he's like got the balloons with the blood in them and it's fucking hilarious and Tim Curry's having a blast.
There's a movie I was trying to find for this section where they go to the library because there's a movie that is a cheaply made knockoff of Harry Potter called The Mystical Adventures of Billy Owens. And there is a scene in it. And so, but he doesn't go to like wizarding school. He just like meets a guy and the guy's like, you're a wizard.
New kind of guy.
You guys help save the town. And then so they go to the library and like they sneak in, but it's like clearly like it's a very, very low budget film. So it's clearly like the local public library in the town they're filming in.
Nice.
And then like they're using the actual microfiche like
nice.
Of the actual town.
It's always microfiche.
And it's on Prime Video, so we can do a Twitch watch party.
Yes.
And get live. Do our first Twitch stream.
I really want Neil Breen to do Let's Go to the Library for Research episode movie, like in a scene in a movie, because he already did the one about him writing something. No, it's like, it's interesting to think of like, you know, the how librarians are sort of troped in film versus how libraries are troped in film. Like when I think of Harry Potter, which, you know, fuck J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter, but like when I watch, like when I think about like the movies, like the first two, and like I don't think of the librarians, I think of the library, and they like to sneak into it, and there's like the restricted section, and like the books move and shit, right? Yeah. Like when it's like libraries in film, it's that sort of gatekeepy, esoteric, like you go to the Bodleian Library in Oxford and there's still books on chains.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Own character, kind of.
Yes, the library is the character.
But speaking of that, that I went on the Doctor Strange movie. The librarian at the monastery has like books and chains.
Oh, nice.
And he's like, no book is off limits, and then it's like, except for all of these.
Well, those books weren't off limits. You just couldn't check them out.
Well, yeah, and you see that, and that's like a thing in, I think, Game of Thrones too. Like at the in Game of Thrones, where the motherfuckers study to be the motherfuckers in the Citadel, all the books are chained to the shelves, which is like an old monastic tradition of chaining books to shelves, allegedly.
Yeah.
So yeah, drawn on a lot.
Those are usually chained to a desk.
Yeah.
Like these are like chained, like like they're going to escape.
Speaking of monks. Oh. I know it was a movie and I haven't seen it, but also the book Name of the Rose, fucking medieval monk murder mystery in a library, and like how the library is like representative
of knowledge and shit. Which is based on a novel by Umberto Eco.
Yeah, Name of the Rose. That's what I said.
I thought you said a movie.
I was like, yeah, it's a film, but there's a book.
Oh,
yeah, there is a film.
I didn't hear that. Okay.
But
I was very confused.
Kind of a, yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, it's a, I'm a huge Eco like stan. I like because I'm a huge semiotics nerd.
Echo.
Yeah, read or fascism if you haven't. People who are listening to this, but yeah, no. Name of the Rose is this big, pretentious. It is very because it's just like let's talk about semiotics for 40 pages, and you're like, all right. But yeah, it's like a medieval monk murder mystery. In a like monastery library, it's pretty cool, and all the monks are concerned about knowledge and symbols.
I know nothing about comics most of the time, so y'all will probably be leading this conversation. I don't even remember what Girls Versus Slingshots is about. There's not hot dominatrix in it.
Yeah, no, I haven't read any of these comics in a really long time, but yeah, no, Girls with
like,
Slingshot was kind of like just following like a handful of characters' lives. There wasn't really a plot, and same with
questionable content
too.
Yeah, which I stopped reading before they apparently introduced this like cool trans lady library student or something.
Yeah,
well, Ty
was in there early.
And she was a librarian. She like ran the library that Martin started to work at.
She was in a librarian. She's like a library assistant.
Oh.
But like
oh,
all the librarians.
We're getting into that debate, are we?
Wow, way to be a bad comrade.
Well, it's a plot point because he's like, because he doesn't go to the university, but she did, and he's like, hey, when do you graduate? So I know like I'm not losing my job. And she's like, I graduated like a year ago. And he was like, you didn't think to tell me? She's like, oh, I was smoking a lot of pot. I've been busy. And so, yeah, the arc I put in there in Questionable Content is just where he's a library assistant, and Martin, the main character, if there is one, has to train them. And one of them is Claire. And then she comes out as trans a little while later. And she's kind of like the libraries are serious business, which is a really funny comic I can find. But she doesn't really fall into a trope, because this is more of the area of, like, with all of these comics, the theme is like librarian as like regular person. There's still like tropes, but it's also just like, yeah. Well, yeah, the dominatrix and like Girls with Slingshots, she's also like really meek. She's also like really meek. So she does kind of come into that like old maid stereotype a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, the dominatrix was just to throw them. Yeah.
I really liked Clarice as a character, because, like, I don't know. I felt.
Yeah.
She, I didn't feel like she really fell into any tropes in particular. Like, she was kind of shy, but I think that. And then with juxtapositioned with the dominatrix thing.
She's the only thing I remember about that comic.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember a whole lot either. I remember that, and
it ended a while ago, so I haven't read it in a long time.
Were there any librarians in Obloff?
I'm sure there have been. I don't know.
It's probably like librarian of the dick books or something.
Yeah. Obloff for show good
here. When I need to test the filter at work, that's what I use. Which led to an awkward moment where my boss was like, "Hey, how do you test the filter?" And I was like, "You have to go to a blocked website." And he goes, "Well, what do you do?" Like, please don't make me admit that I use Ogloff as a reference.
Everyone knows who that is or what that is.
My boss is a weird cinnamon roll, so I genuinely don't think he knew how to test the filter.
Doesn't know about the cool dyke pirates who make the dude pirates fuck each other.
The cum sprites.
The cum sprites. Doesn't know about the labyrinth dude.
I haven't read that for a really long time either, but
it's some every once in a while I'll go down a rabbit hole and just like read Ogloff for like a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it because you don't really have to follow a plot or characters. You could just jump in wherever and get sex jokes.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was a librarian in that ever.
Horny
people who listen to this, you know, send us an email, tweet at us. Was there ever a librarian in Obloff?
Yeah. There is Library Comic, which has been going on for a long time, and now they have like new artists come in.
Didn't they make or someone did, like, they sold like a USB that was like a card catalog. Was that them or was that someone else?
I don't know. No. I haven't gotten any of their merch.
I used to read Unshelved a lot. Yeah.
Maybe it was Unshelved I was thinking about.
I have Unshelved merch. My work lanyard is a intellectual freedom fighter lanyard.
My computer just yelled at me. Oh yes, it was Unshelved because they make the card catalog USB.
There's a funny, I do have a funny story about Unshelved. So my supervisor in grad school during my supervisor at work during grad school, because I worked at the library in library school. And he was telling me about when he was working in a public library, and like he was on the desk, but he couldn't like do anything on the desk. He didn't really have anything like assigned to him. So he was reading the comic Unshelved and like got other people into reading it.
Oh, nice.
And then he stopped when someone was like, "Hey, you remind me of Dewey from Unshelved." And he was like, "Okay,
you gotta stop now."
Yeah. Y'all gotta stop.
So Dewey's kind of like incompetent or just like anti-helpful. So he's sort of like an anti. I put this towards the end, like, are there any other new tropes we can add? And I think like he's kind of like the anti-policeman where he's like, "Yeah, do whatever. I don't care."
Isn't he a teen librarian too?
It's always like, the fucking teen librarian.
Yeah, like the chaotic teen librarian stereotype. Like there's the cheerful, like happy children's librarian stereotype, and then there's the teen librarian who just like also skateboards through the library with the patrons and shit.
The one that I put where it's like a subset of fun and cool, where it's like hip dude with tattoos like, who is probably
like
a ska
the hipster librarian vibe. Like youth pastor librarian.
Yeah.
But he has tattoos.
The librarian version.
Yeah, and he has like tattoos.
Totally youth pastor librarian.
And he like knows. Yeah. You know who else?
You know who also skateboards through the library? Jesus does.
Yeah.
Ma'am, this is a public library.
Ma'am, this is a Wendy's.
Ma'am, the Lord doesn't care.
Yeah. So I don't know. Dewey from Unshelved is kind of like inept, but he's also, and also in Library Comic, the goth librarian is the children's librarian.
Oh, that's fun.
So she's not like the fun, quirky one. She's just like really good with kids, but is also like, yeah, but she's like, she's a little spoopy. She goes to rock shows and stuff like that.
Is
so
like the rockabilly librarian like, kind of a thing.
Yes, because John Wick 3.
Okay, this was on the list, but I didn't know.
I haven't seen a single John Wick.
I haven't seen this either.
I love John Wick.
Not a one.
So in the third one, the rockabilly thing in the third one is they're actually like switchboard operators, but they're sort of like in the same realm as like one of the earliest scenes is he like goes to this library where he's the only person in it except for the librarian. And she has to tell him where the book is, even though it's like
this sounds like a premise for a porn, to be honest.
Hell yeah, I want to watch Keanu fuck a old lady librarian. Fuck yeah. But then he goes and like in the it's a book, it's just like on the shelf, but there's like shit hidden in there. And I'm like, that there's no way that was just there for all the, I mean probably actually. But yeah, so like there's a librarian in John Wick 3, because like he hides a thing in a book in this library, but it's like unclear as to if it's a library that's a part of this like organization underworld that he's a part of, because then like the people who sort of are like the version of secretaries, kind of like they're switchboard operators, and they're a very rockabilly and they like wear pink and have tattoos, and like some of them are like more older women who are still like that look like the old dykes in the Telephone music video, like that kind of vibe, but with like pink and like big tits. It's pretty cool. John Wick 3 is great. All the John Wick movies are good. First one's the best. But yeah, there's like some librarians and like the switchboard operators aren't librarians, but they have the same vibe. And they're going for like the rockabilly, but also matronly kind of.
Is the supernatural library like as a trope? That's kind of a thing, because like the librarian movies and the librarian TV show.
Yeah, and it's like, is the library itself have supernatural elements, or is it just in a show? Because like in Harry Potter, sorry, but like that has the floating books and shit. But like I'm trying to think of like another one where it's like the library itself. I've only seen the librarian movie and it annoyed the shit out of me, and I did not bother to watch the show.
I think I watched like two or three episodes of the show.
I'm trying to think. I know there are some other movies where like the library itself is like a component, and I'm trying to think of movies that aren't documentaries, but
like where it's magical.
Oh yeah. I don't do magic and shit like that. Sorry.
I know. Yeah. There's a big, huge scene in Wings of Desire, Der Himmel über Berlin.
Yeah, exactly.
That is in the big library in Berlin where it's just like, you get to hear all the thoughts.
Right.
Of the
people. Yeah. Where he's exactly when they're in the library. Yeah. Like, and that's like one of the few cinematic representations that really represents the library as like a people place.
Yeah. And like unique. All the different types of things people do in libraries.
Exactly.
Like, it's not just people looking. Yeah. No, it's a great scene. Arthur, are you going to jump over my laptop? You going to do it, bub? You can do it. Let people see you jump.
When I reached out to people, for anime recommendations, because I could only think of one, which is like a detective, like high school drama, where just like they kind of work out little, they work out like little mysteries, and one of like the main mystery is like the history behind the classics club that they're in.
And oh, so it's like the secret history.
so like they meet a librarian. She's kind of like old maidish, but she's just like, no, I just was here during the 70s during the student protests. Here's what happened. Here's why your uncle got expelled. And here's so like they work out a mystery. And then so I noticed people sent me other things, and I noticed there's a big genre of the library detective
yes
series. It's a whole genre of. It's a detective show, fundamentally, but there's a library aspect in it.
So I don't know if this would fall into it because it's Murakami, and you never, like, I could not.
Fucking bring up Murakami. Do it.
I love Murakami. But in Kafka on the Shore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like one of the sections is Kafka, like, hanging out in this, like, he's not in a library, but, like, he's in this, like, house, and the person he's with is a librarian, and he's a trans guy.
Yeah.
And he's also gay. And I'm like, okay, Murakami.
Yeah.
He sees you.
I was like, I didn't, like, remember that until, like, a year ago, and then I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, no, there's, like, totally, like, and he, like, doesn't even do, like, library things.
No, he's, like, book. More
he's just like, he's oh, yeah, I'm a librarian.
Well, he works at the like, he is a librarian, though. Like, he does do stuff like that. Like, I think his kind of role is more of, like, this kind of town figure, and I think that's, like, his role is really kind of, it has this almost mystical, I've read it twice, and his role kind of has this, like, almost mythical quality to it, and it has this kind of significance and this weight to it in some ways. And I really like this kind of, like,
15 when I read it.
Yeah. Yeah, I read it for the first time as 17, and then again, I think at 29 or so. But anyway, like, his role kind of has this mythical gravity to it.
Oh, see, I don't remember any of that. I just remember them, like, hanging out in that house. There's also in Hardboiled Wonderland and the End of the World, the weird, like, unicorn skull library.
Yeah, yeah, like the natural history library. Like,
that's where the dreams happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you back on Mystic Libraries? I wanted to ask about the detective. Library is detective. Like, does that fall under a trope, or have we discovered a new trope?
Oh, well, I pulled up from bookriot.com 16 great library scenes in film. Oh. If you want to discuss that.
I feel like that might have something to
do. Yeah, throw us the link in the Discord.
Okay.
Yeah, I
hold
was
going
to say that maybe the, like, Giles type of character, like, might have helped morph into that.
Yeah, I think he developed later, but I'm not sure, like, where, if it is necessarily librarian as hero. I think it might be just librarian as hero.
Librarian as protagonist.
Yeah, as the person who uses their library skills to solve the story. So, like,
that's right. All of the Breakfast Club is in the school library.
I know, right? They're in the fucking library at a high school in Chicago.
I forgot.
Yeah, they go to detention, first of all. I hate the Breakfast Club.
I admit to, although I rewatched 16 Candles and it did not. But I love
actually,
the
Molly
Jedi
Ringwald.
Archives.
Molly Ringwald wrote about 16 Candles recently for The New Yorker, and it's a really good take on it.
Pretty Pink's got, like, hot bitchy young James Spader in it. So,
yeah. Or no, she wrote about.
Yep, there's Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah, there's.
Yeah, all of these are, like, so many.
Shawshank
is
a good one.
Library.
Yeah.
Shawshank. Oh, Clue. Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Library. Oh, libraries and prisons.
Yeah.
So, like, the Malcolm X biopic.
Yeah.
I don't know if they go in the library, but there's a lot of reading done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as the self-educational take. Philadelphia.
Yeah, and also that guy in Florida who got convicted, but he didn't have a lawyer, and that was the case that was precedent to the state has to provide one.
Yeah.
There's a movie made about him, and a lot of it is him sitting in his legal library, which is a big part of any prison library because everyone's wanting to research their case, right?
Right.
Yeah, I know.
I think I've seen that movie. I think I saw it as film study class in high school.
I saw it in high school because it was about Florida and it was about history. I think maybe it was government class.
Carrie, when you were at U of I, were you in Champaign-Urbana or did you do it online?
I lived in Champaign for a year. Also, my mom, my grandpa's from Urbana and my great aunt lived there. So I used to go there a lot.
Were they doing books to prisoners?
Yeah, they did that when I was there.
Yeah, that's like I know that was like a sort of a big thing.
Yeah. They, like, did that.
A few students from the library school who did that.
Yeah. We actually did a project at my work actually around with Wisconsin Books to Prisoners. So, like, you can actually, if you're interested in prison libraries, get in touch with a local or regional Books to Prisoners program.
They're a great organization. Anyway, yeah, plug Books of Prisoners.
There was a good book I read about a guy who it was kind of like an accidental prison librarian. He just had like an English degree, and he was like looking. He just needed a job, and so he just wrote about his whole experience, and then like talks about like a lockdown happening, and like suddenly he's like, "Oh, I'm a guard now. Like I'm a cop." Like in this moment, and I think that like freaks him out, and that's when he starts planning to leave.
Prison really librarianship has to be on a different level.
I just added it to our podcast.
I work with a woman. People. Yeah, I work with a woman who used to be in the prison, like as a librarian.
I have a friend who volunteered at the one in Champaign-Urbana, like not just doing Books of Prisoners, but actually in the like the jail library.
Yeah,
I never got a chance to though.
I had a supervisor who moved to public libraries after working in a prison library for stress-related reasons.
Yeah, I went to school with someone, and, like, she went to library school to become, like, that's what her whole thing was, is she wanted to be a prison librarian.
Oh, but yeah, she talked about how nice it was to not have to pack plastic cutlery with every single lunch that she packed, because she had to do that every day at the prison library, and I'm like, it's not even mm-hmm. something I would have even thought of, but yeah.
Yeah. I'll link to that book in the show notes. We should wrap up soon.
We should.
So new tropes. We talked about like librarian is anti-policeman. I think a lot of the stuff that I was looking at recently, especially in the webcomics, was like, it's just trying to be like librarian is normal person who's like trying to get a job. The job market sucks. And then like library comic has like different types of librarians but they're all relatable. Like the guy who is like really obsessed with books, and then the guy who's like, no, everything is online now. Like just use our database, use a Kindle. And I think like, I don't know. The thought I had was I would love to see, because the article we used was talking about librarians versus non-librarians depictions of librarians in video. I would love to do that. They did that on YouTube. I would love to do that on TikTok, because TikTok is just like way more horny.
They did that on YouTube in 2010, which was a much different YouTube than YouTube in 2021. And also, like, who gives
that's what I was thinking
that
when I was reading.
Much of a shit about us? Like, I mean, also, like, why do we care that much?
Well, it says it was an interesting thing that they needed a publication, I'm thinking.
Aren't there a lot of, like, actual, like, librarians on TikTok who share library stuff?
Yeah.
There's a tag, and I'm tempted to like go through it and be like, I wonder if there's an easy publication I could get out of this.
I remember kind of that early, like that 2010, because that was about the time that I started working in libraries. Like I started in like 2008. So like I remember that era, and like
same.
I think it that suits YouTube at that time, but it wouldn't anymore.
Exactly,
at all.
It's very much a product of its time.
Because is that when the memes of like what my mom thinks I do, what the public thinks I do, what I think I do, what I actually do.
That's even longer before that.
Yeah.
That's way before.
Really?
That. Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, we're talking
we've barely even had memes yet.
Yeah. I threw that in the notes because I was like, I wonder how this would look like today if like this meme picked back up again. Like what stereotypes would we represent about ourselves? Like what comes from within the profession as opposed to outside the profession? But
I feel like within the profession, there's like the quirky.
Yeah, like that TikTok that Justin threw on the Twitter, like the cold librarian, the Harry Potter librarian, who I've definitely worked with, the ukulele children's librarian. Like I've worked with every single stereotype of librarian that is in that TikTok. So,
And I think even like within different types of libraries, you get like different types of librarians, even within different types of libraries, and like even like fucking vendor librarians, like, God, don't even get me started. Like that's even a type.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, man, vendors, whatever, but I mean, there are plenty of universities that are just as, you know, evil as the vendors. So I can't get on a high horse about it. I would work for a vendor.
No, I straight up had a very dear friend and mentor who is also very anti-capitalist and stuff be like, be a taxonomist at Amazon. You'll get paid so much money, and then you will have your student loans paid off. Yeah. I was like, yeah. I know
that might have been before Mechanical Turk took off, because I don't know if you can actually probably still get that money.
Yeah.
When you can outsource it to
yeah.
someone else to do it for a tenth of the cost.
They had the taxonomist at Etsy teach the taxonomy class at U of I, and I was signed up for it, and then they canceled the class. U of I also had a like librarians and film course that I didn't take because I just like couldn't see why I would take it for like what I wanted to do. Like to me, it's like that seemed like something I would take for, like for a film degree and not like like I couldn't see the like if I was being like utilitarian about I couldn't see the use of it, but it sounded very, very fun.
Every fucking class I took for my degree was just like a blow off fucking class to get a degree. Like I used nothing from my MLIS degree in my job. Fun fact.
Yeah. Just pick what is interesting to you.
I have a degree in special collections. My last class I took was the history and practice of letterpress printing. I used none of that. I took history of the book. I'm a medical librarian. I am here to tell you, you can learn what you need to learn on the job.
Yeah.
If you're smart enough.
Yeah. I did a lot of metadata stuff. And I do metadata stuff. I use stuff from like every single class I took.
I took metadata stuff, but only if it was interesting to me. So it was like digital preservation or something. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
I never took any metadata. I took cataloging. That was about as far into metadata as I got. But then like I learned about metadata for stuff that I worked on too. So if I needed to do metadata, I could.
Development course. Running through the house with a pickle in my mouth. Exactly, we gotta get that one in.
Yeah. Is it an episode of Library Punk if that's not played?
This whole episode was misbehaving.
Yeah.
So okay, I think we find most of our listeners through Twitter, but if not, for some reason, our Twitter's at Library Punk, and
I'm still in Twitter jail.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry, Jay.
Yeah. No, I submitted like 4 appeals, and it just says that like they are experiencing significant delays due to the pandemic. Oh no, oh no.